has been a professional money manager for the last 18 years. He is a regular contributor to the Fox Business Channel and Bloomberg Radio. In addition to this, he is a regular contributor to TheStreet.com and MarketWatch.com. Now he's live here on the Wall Street Business Network. Here is Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It is September the 14th. It's the live edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. And of course, this is the week that we've all been waiting for. With bated breath, will the Fed finally hike rates after, 6 years of zero interest rate policy, ZERP? Or will they leave rates alone, and does it really matter anyways? Well, the market will remain on edge, I would assume, until then. And it is a bit on edge here this morning, although we started off in the positive, in the green. Right now, the Dow is down 63 points. The Dow is at 16,370. We have the S&P 500 down about 7 points right now. It's at 1,953. The NASDAQ is down 16. The NASDAQ is at 4,805 right now. Crude oil. You know, the market seems to be taking its cue from crude oil these days. Crude oil is a good indicator of the global economy, and global demand for crude oil has been dropping, and the market has been dropping, and crude oil is down today 0.9%, and the market is also down. Crude oil is at $44.22. Gold can't get out of its own way. 1104 is where we're at on gold, and gold has been very, very languid for quite some time now. The euro is at 1.1309, and we have interest rates dropping back a little bit here today. We're back down to 2.16% on the 10-year bond. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, and of course, all eyes on the Fed this week. We got to wait until Thursday until we get the news as to whether or not Miss Yellen will bring the hammer down and raise interest rates by a quarter of a point. I don't think it really makes that much of a difference. I read this morning that the odds now, there's about a 25% chance to 30% chance that the Fed will raise rates. That's at least the way the bond market is betting right now. And of course, if they don't raise rates, we'll immediately start the debate on the October Fed meeting as soon as the September meeting is over. You know, the Fed gets a lot of attention. There's a lot of Fed watchers, and there's a lot of people that take their cue from the Fed because of the power that they wield in the markets here. Well, I think it comes down more to growth. Can the U.S. economy continue to grow despite a quarter point rate hike? Well, I don't think that the Fed would be raising rates if they thought that that would kill growth in America. I think they're very cautious right now. The last thing they want to do is take out the growth that is there, which is averaging about 2.5% per year right now. But it looks to me like next year, and we'll go look at the numbers, that we could have better growth than that in earnings of the S&P 500 despite the slow growth in the GDP numbers. Well, Apple has good news today. People are lining up online to get those Apple 6s. I just don't know, though, and I wrote about this in my newsletter over the weekend. I just don't know if that Apple mania is still there like it was. You know, the Beatles kind of peaked there with their Let It Be album, and then everything started to disintegrate. And I mentioned over the weekend that I wasn't standing in line for a Wings album after the Beatles broke up. But, of course, they still have those great products and that great innovation. And they're saying that they're expecting strong sales from the Apple 6S. I think that Apple fits more into a growth and income type of profile these days. as opposed to an aggressive growth stock. There's no way that Apple is an aggressive growth stock anymore. Not at $650 billion. I don't know if they'll ever make it to $1 trillion. We'll see. But they're kind of heading in the way of an IBM or a Hewlett-Packard or a Dell computer or one of the slower growth types of companies out there. No longer are they a 30 to 35% grower. Still a great company. In fact, my app is giving a buy signal on the stock right now, but I think it fits more in a growth and income type of portfolio as opposed to a, you know, an aggressive growth stock that it once was. Let's just take a look here and see what the yield is these days. Apple has come down somewhat, and that does help the yield. The yield goes up when the stock goes down. We're at a 1.8% yield right now. You know, hey, given the choice of a U.S. Treasury that pays about 2.2% almost, 2.1%, or an Apple share of Apple stock that pays 1.6%, I'd still take the Apple stock. I think that's an easy decision there. But that's just me. Let's see, what else? Las Vegas sportsbooks took a beating over the weekend. A lot of favorites won. In football, not a lot of big upsets. A lot of the good teams covered the spread over the weekend, and I read that the Las Vegas sportsbooks took the biggest beating they have in a long time. Our Chargers came roaring back and won going away from the Detroit Lions, who were staying right across the street from where I live downtown. We saw them boarding their buses Sunday morning to go to the Q, Qualcomm Stadium, four big buses with a police escort of about eight or nine of San Diego's finest motorcycle cops, and the NFL season was underway. I can't believe that the Giants gave that game away last night. A lot of interesting things taking place on opening weekend in the NFL. Weak outlook for oil right now. And, of course, oil is down to $44 per barrel. Well, we like to take a look at the big picture every Monday. The big picture helps us determine the little picture and what stocks we want to be invested in, if we want to be invested in any stocks at all, right? Well, we're going to take a look at the big picture. And how do we do that? We begin by looking at the relative strength of the various indexes and asset classes out there. Are bonds a better place to be right now than stocks? They were back in 2009, but this is 2015. We're now looking ahead to 2016, and that's where earnings play a very, very important role. Earnings have been growing since 2009. And while earnings have been growing on the S&P 500, the stock market has been going up. There seems to be a pretty strong correlation there, doesn't there? Earnings go up, stock market goes up. Earnings go up on an individual stock, and the stock price follows right behind it. Earnings are the mother's milk of the stock market. So it's good to take a look at which direction earnings are going right now. We know that this year we had a leveling off in earnings. We didn't have a decrease, however. We had a leveling off. And what has the market done this year? The market has had a leveling off to a slight downdraft because we've also had a little bit of multiple contraction on the market because the market is pricing in a Fed rate hike sometime this year. We'll see if it's this week. Or if the debate begins after Thursday's meeting about next October's meeting, I prefer to just get this thing out of the way, rip the bandage off, little bit of short-term pain, and then we can get on again to real fundamentals once again. Once again, I did the numbers on 500 S&P 500 stocks, applied my formulas and came up with an earnings per share for the S&P 500. How does that earnings per share compare with this year, which was a flat year? We need to return to S&P 500 earnings growth next year if we're going to keep this third longest bull market in history going. So we'll take a look once again at the relative strength of the market. We'll take a look at the technical pattern of the market, which is part of the puzzle. And thirdly, we'll take a look at the fundamentals, the valuation, and my target prices on the market based on the expectations that are out there right now. So we take a look. It's our big picture Monday. Look at the market. And what have I been saying for the last 6+ years? That the U.S. stock market is still the best place to be. But this is a brand new week. And there's a lot happening out there. Let's see if there's been any changes to the big picture. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour.
Is your IRA being managed by a robot? Does a nameless, faceless computer program make automatic decisions about what to do with your hard-earned money? Perhaps your employer conveniently invested your retirement with a supercomputer mega big box warehouse brokerage firm, and now you're simply thought of as just another number in a vast sea of millions. This is Rob Sanford for Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here to testify that Bill Gunderson is no robot. I've seen him. Bill is in the office every single day from bell to bell, personally and actively managing the accounts of every single client. He never leaves the helm or turns over the wheelhouse to some junior trainee or office deckhand. He's the skipper. His decisions are thorough, well thought out, researched, and conducted with great care. So give Gunderson Capital Management a call at 855-611-BEST. If you're driving right now and can't write it down, just search Bill Gunderson on the web when you get home. So say goodbye to the robot and shake hands with Bill Gunderson today.
What are the leading asset classes in the market right now? Stocks, bonds, cash, gold?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the leading indexes in the world currently? U.S., Europe, Japan, South America, emerging markets?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best sectors in the market now? Energy, technology, retail, financials, healthcare?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best stocks in the market now from a valuation, relative performance, and technical perspective? Exxon, Celgene, Apple, Delta, to name a few.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp database currently has over 4,000 stocks, indexes, exchange-traded funds, and mutual funds to choose from. What are the best ones now?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The Best Stocks Now app was invented by Bill Gunderson and Douglas Apperly. Bill Gunderson is the president of Gunderson Capital Management. In addition to the PC version, the Best Stocks Now app is also available on Apple and Android platforms.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, I think it would be useful. Let's just take a look at a technical picture of the S&P 500, which I did in the newsletter over the weekend. It's not very pretty, actually. The S&P 500 is below its 50-day moving average. It's below its 20-day moving average, and it's below its 200-day moving average. If I was a technician only, I would say that this market doesn't look very good. But technicals are one-third of the picture. The other two-thirds are relative strength and valuation. And you could also say, looking at the technicals, that the market is down here around a support level. The support level still lies at about 1850, 1840, somewhere in there. A violation of that, and I would be a pretty nervous guy. That hasn't obviously happened yet. But we are down around some important support levels that need to hold. And overall, the technical picture of the market is pretty weak right now. We're in the midst still of a 10 to 12% correction in the market. So you would expect weak technicals. We had the same exact thing happen last year at this time, right around October 2014. And basically, over the last 12 months, the market has gone nowhere. It's had some false starts and then worry about the Fed. It's had some false starts and then worry about oil prices. It's had some false starts and then worries about China. Well, what impact have all of these worries had on 2016 earnings expectations? We'll get to that a little bit, but suffice it to say that the technical pattern of the market right now is very, very weak. But from a long-term standpoint, looking at a five-year trend of the S&P, we are still in an uptrend. We are still in a primary uptrend, meaning that technically we are still in a bull market. But I also have a line drawn in the sand. If we were to cross underneath that, the technical bull market would be broken. And that would not be good because there's an awful lot of technicians in the market that are trading off of technicals. And were the market to break down below some important levels, let's just say on the Dow, I'll call it about 15,350, right around in there. We're still well above that. But if we were to break through that on the downside, that would not be good. Now, of all of the U.S. indices, the NASDAQ continues to hold up the best, which leads me to another observation, and this may play in your 401k decisions. Growth stocks, from my point of view, are still very much favored over value stocks. Just look at the difference this year between the NASDAQ, which is more representative of the growth side of the equation. The NASDAQ's actually positive this year by 1.8%. And I would say that the Dow is a little bit more representative of and a proxy for the value stocks, the dividend-paying stocks. The Dow is down 7.8%, so there's a 9% differential this year between growth and value. So as you make your choices in your 401k, that's something to take into account. Something else to take into account is your 401k is the continued weakness in the emerging markets, which I've kept you out of now for a long, long time. I did a brief foray into China earlier this year. It was a mistake. China, who knew that that thing would just come unraveled like it did? But it did. And I don't write things down. I backed out very, very quickly when I realized I was wrong there. The Chinese market and the emerging markets, however, are starting to settle a little bit. Maybe, just maybe, they have finally found a bottom, which would be very, very constructive for the U.S. markets. It would also help if oil has also found some kind of a bottom and is starting to put in a sideways trend. Now, it's very early to call a bottom here in the emerging markets, in the China market, and in the oil market, but they're attempting. This is the best attempt they've made at putting in a bottom. for the last several months now. So we'll see whether or not they can finally put in a bottom. And, of course, that would really help the U.S. markets. China was up about 10% last week, believe it or not. As we look at the scorecard year to date, look around the world, okay? The S&P 500 is down 4.7%. Well, we're not seeing any earnings growth in the S&P 500 this year. We're going to just see slightly higher earnings this year than we saw last year. And those two big factors are that have affected earnings growth this year have been a strong U.S. dollar, which has been caused by weak emerging markets, and also a plunge in oil prices. That has taken quite a bit of money earnings out of the S&P 500. And once again this week, as I did individually, all 500 S&P 500 stocks updated their earnings estimates for this year, compared them against last week. The one group that I continue to see downgrades to are the energy stocks. We still don't have a clue where oil is going to end up and where the earnings are going to end up for some of these big energy stocks next year. In fact, a lot of the energy stocks are going to continue to lose money. They need more than $40 per barrel oil to be profitable. So that's still a major wild card out there in the market. But when all is said and done, the S&P 500 in 2015 is down 4.7%. The Dow is down 7.8%. The NASDAQ is up positive by 1.8%. The forward P/E ratio of the S&P 500 comes in at 14.9. That's one of the lowest forward P/E ratios we've had over the last 12 to 18 months, meaning that the valuation continues to be pretty good on the markets. We take a look around the world and the picture gets uglier. The emerging markets, which I've kept you out of, are now down 14.9% year to date. Europe, which continues to try to put as much stimulus into their economy as they possibly can, Europe is down 2.3%. China is down 12.7%. And the biggest loser this year in the market, Brazil, down 37.4%. Where's the green on the screen? There's very little. Treasuries are about even for the year. The dollar's up just a little bit. Well, investors in Russia, they're up 8% so far this year. I'm not going to recommend that one, however. The NASDAQ is the big winner so far this year, up 1.8%, meaning that the growth stocks in the U.S. on a relative basis continue to be the best place to be. We'll get further into this big picture look when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. But I must do the wrong call. Hit us in a bad place. And I wonder what it's good for. I've been in a right place.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
Is your IRA being managed by a robot? Does a nameless, faceless computer program make automatic decisions about what to do with your hard-earned money? Perhaps your employer conveniently invested your retirement with a supercomputer mega big box warehouse brokerage firm, and now you're simply thought of as just another number in a vast sea of millions. This is Rob Sanford for Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here to testify that Bill Gunderson is no robot. I've seen him Bill is in the office every single day from bell to bell, personally and actively managing the accounts of every single client. He never leaves the helm or turns over the wheelhouse to some junior trainee or office deckhand. He's the skipper. His decisions are thorough, well thought out, researched, and conducted with great care. So give Gunderson Capital Management a call at 855-611-BEST. If you're driving right now and can't write it down, just search Bill Gunderson on the web when you get home. So say goodbye to the robot and shake hands with Bill Gunderson today.
What are the leading asset classes in the market right now? Stocks, bonds, cash, gold?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the leading indexes in the world currently? U.S., Europe, Japan, South America, emerging markets?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best sectors in the market now? Energy, technology, retail, financials, healthcare?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best stocks in the market now from a valuation, relative performance, and technical perspective? Exxon, Celgene, Apple, Delta? Just to name a few.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp database currently has over 4,000 stocks, indexes, exchange-traded funds, and mutual funds to choose from. What are the best ones now?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The Best Stocks Now app was invented by Bill Gunderson and Douglas Apperly. Bill Gunderson is the president of Gunderson Capital Management. In addition to the PC version, the Best Stocks Now app is also available on Apple and Android platforms.
BestStocksNowApp.com. Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app.
Nearly every day you hear a tragic story on the news about a teenager and the internet. Well, Be Safe Online would like to share some positive news with you. News of families who have prevented similar tragedies because they were protected with the ultimate family internet filter.
A dad from Ohio writes, "It stopped the kids from getting on a few sites that they should not go to. And the best thing is the time restraints. Online time now ends promptly at 11 p.m. No ifs or just a seconds anymore."
Writes a mom in Minnesota, "I questioned my oldest son and he admitted that the ads he saw in a honey magazine made him curious. He went online to check it out and he told me Be Safe Online blocked it. Thank you so much."
And who can forget the dad in Georgia who wrote this? "With Be Safe's help, I managed to keep my 14-year-old away from a guy who, shortly after, was in the paper for raping another 14-year-old. God bless Be Safe. Go to BeSafeOnline.com and protect your family today. That's BeSafeOnline.com, the letter B, then SafeOnline.com.
And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, 69% of investment advisors like me are currently bearish. 31% are currently bullish. Which camp am I in? Well, we're going to go through the numbers here in a bit. And once again, I'll put my neck on the line and tell you which camp I currently belong to. But over the last 6 years and 22 weeks, I've been in the bullish camp. There's been times when I've been cautious. There's been times when I've raised cash. But I have not turned into a bear during the last 6 years and 22 weeks. I've kept people in the market for the most part. We also take a look here today at the big picture. I have my methodology, just like everybody has their own methodology. I come at it from a relative strength point of view or performance. I come at it from a valuation point of view, and I come at it from a technical point of view. The technicals of the market right now are rather weak. If I was a technician only, I would probably be a lot more cautious than I have been. But I also look at relative strength, and I also look at valuation, which are the next two subjects that I want to cover here. We next look at the relative strength and the performance of the market. Well, it's down 4.75% so far this year, but on a relative basis, the U.S. stock market is better than foreign stock markets, isn't it? The U.S. stock market is better than precious metals. The U.S. stock market is still better than being short the market, than being inverse the market. Yeah, if you were inverse the market this year, you'd be up a measly 4%. Is it really worth taking the risk? Look at what's happened to short sellers over the last several years. I still don't think that's the best place to be. And on a relative basis, I can't really say that bonds are a screaming buy here. The bond market is about even year to date. And I think that the bond market right now has more risk to the downside than the stock market, believe it or not. And as I look at the leading asset classes out there, there's really not any leadership in the market right now. I mean, you take a look at your asset classes that you have to choose from. Well, cash is going nowhere, either up or down. Inverse funds are going nowhere. Well, maybe just slightly. They've had made a little bit of noise here recently. But if you look at a longer-term chart of inverse funds, they certainly don't look very enticing right now. And as I said, the bond market's about even. Gold isn't the answer. Gold is still ranked at or near the bottom of the asset class ladder. The strong dollar is keeping anything commodity-related very, very low. The NASDAQ remains and continues to be one of the leading asset classes out there, because it represents growth stocks. In my opinion, from a relative performance standpoint, U.S. growth stocks continue to be on a relative basis. You say, well, on an absolute basis, they're down over the last 12 months. Yes, but take a look at the choices. And when we get to the valuation portion of the equation, we're going to take a look into the future. And we're going to try to project which of these asset classes has the greatest upside potential going forward. The worst asset classes continue to be emerging markets, which are very, very shaky. Down 15% year to date. And you can get into individual emerging markets that have done even worse than that. You've got Brazil down 38%. Latin America as a whole is down 28%. China is down 10 or 11%, and they still represent a bad place to be. And I know the contrarians are going to come forward and say, well, shouldn't you buy things when there's blood running in the streets? The problem is, there's been blood running in the streets for the last 2 to 3 years in the emerging markets. Yes, there is a time to step forward. There was blood running in the streets of the U.S. markets back in 2009, but there was a point where they turned the corner when earnings estimates started to move higher and when stocks started to follow and when relative strength of stocks put them in the catbird seat. And they've been sitting there ever since. Question is, are they still sitting there? Well, the worst asset classes continue to be emerging markets. I would continue to avoid them. Anything energy or oil related is still very, very shaky. The contrarians, I heard the contrarians down the hall at Morgan Stanley and other big firms, and I've seen many contrarians come on TV saying you got to step up to the plate and buy these oil stocks at this level. The problem is they've been saying that now for months. And they continue to go down. And as I looked at the individual stocks that make up the S&P 500 over the weekend and updated the earnings estimates on them, where did I see the downgrades continuing to happen? To the energy stocks. That's where I saw the biggest number of downgrades to S&P 500 earnings was right in the oil patch. Oil has still not settled. It still has not found a bottom. In fact, you've got Goldman Sachs out there calling for $20 oil right now. course, they were the ones calling for $200 oil a few years ago. But having said that, the MLPs still look bad. The oil and gas exploration companies still look bad. Those, in my opinion, are bad asset classes to be invested in. REITs still look bad. I own one REIT at Gunderson Capital Management. REITs look bad because they're interest rate sensitive. Commodities still look bad. Emerging market income, sovereign debt, still the worst places to be. And once again, you know me, I am not a believer in asset allocation. Why do I want to own a bunch of bad asset classes along with the few good ones that are out there right now? I want to try to focus in the good ones and avoid the bad ones if I can. As we look at indexes around the world, once again, there's really not any leadership out there. But the leadership has been focused in U.S. growth stocks for quite some time. And as I look on a relative basis, that's where I still see the best asset class, U.S. stocks. The second best asset class is cash. So any combination thereof would be my current asset allocation. I have about an 80, and let's call it 75-25. 75 in U.S. stocks, best stocks now, different categories. If you're a growth and income investor, I'm trying to keep you in the best dividend paying stocks, which has been a tough area of the market right in this year. You know, look at the Dow. It's down 8% this year. I've done a lot better in the mid-cap arena, the large-cap arena of the growth stocks. That's still the sweet spot. And the indexes to avoid around the world continue to be anything emerging market, like Brazil, like Turkey, like Malaysia, like China, like Africa, like Russia, like Argentina, etc. And I hear contrarians all the time coming on the TV telling me I should be buying Brazil bonds. No thanks. They were just downgraded to junk, and they continue to hit new lows. I'm going to stick with what I consider to be the best places to be in the market, and that's not where I consider the best place to be. Now we'll get into the sectors of the market, and in the final segment of the show, I'll get down to my bottom line numbers for next year, my target prices for the S&P 500 for the rest of 2015 and for 2016. If U.S. stocks are still the best place to be on a relative basis, give us some sectors. Well, you know what? It's been the same sectors now for a long, long time. Biotech, the building sector has actually risen up. A lot of the building sector type companies, home builders, suppliers to the home builders, remodeling types of companies, you know, the Home Depots and the Lowe's of the world, continue to be a leading sector. Consumer discretionary, if you're in the right areas, continues to be a good sector. And, of course, the one sector which has really dominated the leadership of the market for the last couple of years, two, 3 years, the healthcare sector. Those continue to be the leading sectors in the market. I continue to avoid anything like industrials, anything like solar energy, anything like shipping, fracking, natural gas, metals, mining, silver miners, gold miners, oil and gas exploration companies, oil and gas service companies. Those continue to be the sectors to avoid. Now, everything in the market is cyclical. There will be a point in time when they're on the top of the leadership board, but right now they've been at the bottom for a long, long time, and I would continue to avoid them. Instead, I'm focused in the four sectors that I just named: consumer discretionary, healthcare, biotech, and the building sector. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll come right back with my projections for the S&P 500 for the rest of the year in 2016.
Is your IRA being managed by a robot? Does a nameless, faceless computer program make automatic decisions about what to do with your hard-earned money? Perhaps your employer conveniently invested your retirement with a supercomputer, mega big box warehouse brokerage firm,
and now you're simply thought of as just another number in a vast sea of millions. This is Rob Sanford for Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here to testify that Bill Gunderson is no robot. I've seen him. Bill is in the office every single day from bell to bell, personally and actively managing the accounts of every single client. He never leaves the helm or turns over the wheelhouse to some junior trainee or office deckhand. He's the skipper. His decisions are thorough, well thought out, researched, and conducted with great care. So give Gunderson Capital Management a call at 855-611-BEST. If you're driving right now and can't write it down, just search Bill Gunderson on the web when you get home. So say goodbye to the robot and shake hands with Bill Gunderson today.
What are the leading asset classes in the market right now? Stocks, bonds, cash, gold?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the leading indexes in the world currently? U.S., Europe, Japan, South America, emerging markets?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best sectors in the market now? Energy, technology, retail, financials, healthcare?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best stocks in the market now from a valuation, relative performance, and technical perspective? Exxon, Celgene, Apple, Delta, to name a few.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp database currently has over 4,000 stocks, indexes, exchange-traded funds, and mutual funds to choose from. What are the best ones now?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp was invented by Bill Gunderson and Douglas Apperly. Bill Gunderson is the president of Gunderson Capital Management. In addition to the PC version, the BestStocksNowApp is also available on Apple and Android platforms.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app.
Jack was ready to quit and justified in wanting out. Ineffective boss, deadweight co-workers, no recognition, a struggling business. He dashed off a blistering resignation by email, then hit the delete key. Now, more coolly, he picked up the phone to arrange an evening with an old mentor. Later, he talked things over with his best friend, who happened to be his wife. The next day, a renewed employee went to work. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Lady Lodge. The new Jack was just as aware of his job's shortcomings. Only now, he intended to be the difference he had long wanted to see. The best change to a bad job starts inside us, in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour, where we go through the big picture every Monday here on the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. And then, of course, the rest of the week we get into individual stocks that are flourishing, that are meeting my criteria to be called Best Stocks Now, and they seem to be holding up okay. We went through them again, once again, in the newsletter over the weekend, which I sent out late Saturday morning. If you're not on the weekly mailing list, I think you're missing out, but that's up to you. Maybe you've got a better source for information on the markets. You can go to my website at pwstreet.com. That's pwstreet.com to get on the weekly newsletter mailing list. And of course, I have two versions of the newsletter. I have the full version that has all of the model portfolios, all of the buys and sells that I've made during the week, and all of the holdings that I currently have, and my full market commentary. And I have the complimentary version of the newsletter, which is pretty doggone good. It's got the big picture look every single week. And again, you can go onto my website at pwstreet.com. I announced last Friday we'll be starting up in some new cities here, I believe in October, which is right around the corner. We'll be adding Denver to our lineup. We'll be adding Houston to our lineup. We'll be adding Boston. We'll be adding Portland. And we'll be adding St. Louis. So that will add up to about 13 or 14 of major cities in the U.S. where Best Stocks Now Radio Hour can be heard. Okay, let's get to the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. Just get to the bottom line, Gunderson. Well, number one, I say just rip off the Band-Aid and let's just get this rate hike. Let's just go a quarter of a point this week and get it over with and let the market deal with it. I don't think that it makes that big of a difference to the growth of the U.S. economy, which once again, as I look around at all of the economic reports that have come out since a week ago, I see absolutely no sign whatsoever of a looming recession here in the good old U.S. of A. And I don't think that the Fed would be threatening to hike interest rates if they thought that would kill the economy or if there was a looming recession out there. Really? Do you think that they would really be hiking interest rates and killing the economy? And putting the economy into recession and putting the stock market into a bear? I don't think so. So let's get to the bottom line. I went through the 500 companies to see if there's any change whatsoever from last week to this week. Last week, I had earnings estimates for this year of $118 per share, which compares with $116 last year. I made absolutely no change to those estimates. I'm applying a multiple of 17.5. I have a 2,066 target price on the S&P 500 for the rest of the year, which gives us about 5.5% upside potential, which is not bad. This is one of the better numbers that I've seen in quite some time. But more important than that is looking ahead to next year. Once again, I went through all 500 of the S&P 500 stocks. The downgrades that I saw were to mostly the energy stocks. I saw some upgrades. I saw an upgrade to Equinix. I saw an upgrade to Costco. I saw an upgrade to, there was one other one that was pretty substantial. Maybe it was Equinix. And I saw a few downgrades here and there. I saw a pretty substantial downgrade to Allergan. In fact, they're looking for a drop in earnings now next year versus this year. That's one I own, and it's also one that I'm watching very, very closely. I do have a line in the sand drawn on that one. But when all is said and done, I made no change to my earnings estimates for next year, which are currently $131.50. That represents a double-digit increase versus this year's earnings for the S&P 500. I've lowered my multiple next year versus this year to reflect higher interest rates. Multiples contract in a rising interest rate environment because stocks become less desirable and fixed income becomes more desirable. It's simple as that. But really, is a 0.25% really going to make that big of a difference? I currently have a 2235 S&P 500 target price 6 to 12 months from now. That represents 14% upside potential from where we're at right now. Why would I change my stance, which has been bullish for the last 6 years and 22 weeks? Well, you can now make that 6 years and 23 weeks. And even though the technicals of the market look pretty crappy right now, and even though the market has pulled back 10 or 12%, from my perspective, that's made it more attractive from a valuation point of view. And I continue to look for best stocks now during pullbacks in the market. And I did add some last week, which you can find if you peruse the newsletter, the various model portfolios that I publish every week in the newsletter. Again, you can go to my website at pwstreet.com. I do not believe in being invested in the market all the time. I'm not an index guy that says ride through the 40, 50% drops in the market. I'm a market timer. But I've been on the bullish side, and I guess currently I'm in the minority. 31% of investment advisors are currently bullish. But you can put me in that camp for now. I'm going to remain there until I see numbers on the economy and numbers on earnings that would suggest otherwise. 6 years, 23-week bull market, although it's under great threat right now, it remains intact. So we will continue to look for best stocks now. If you'd like to talk to us about our money management style, we're not asset allocators, we're not buy and holders, we're active money management. In a world that has really gone passive, you know why the investment world has gone passive? Because it's just easier. It's a lot less work, in my opinion. Hey, let's put you in about 6 or 7 mutual funds, and I'll call you back in 10 years, and we'll see how we did. No, I like to be active. I like to be where the best sectors are. I like to be in the best asset classes. And I like to be a market timer. And I've been bullish again for 6 years, 22 weeks. And to make that 6 years and 23 weeks, and I see about 14% upside to the market over the next 6 to 12 months. This is Bill Gunderson. This has been the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisor. All accounts are held at Scottrade. Scottrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.